morning, everybody. Great to see everybody this morning. Welcome if you're here in person, and let's give a warm welcome to everybody watching online. We're so great that you came to church. And today we're beginning a brand new sermon series called Strapped. I just want to tell you today, how many would say, Pastor, this series is right on time? Because I am feeling strapped with this economy. How many are with me today? I got gas last night, and it was $4.75 a gallon. I nearly had a heart attack. So I only put half a tank in just so that I could feel good. I'm sure you've done the same way, same thing. Back in the day, how many remember when you only put $5 worth of gas, right? Yeah, I'm just going to put five till I get paid on Friday. $5 won't even get you home these days. And then I went to the pizzeria and I ordered chicken wings because I love chicken wings. I'm a big chicken wing guy. Every Friday night, I go to the pizzeria, get chicken wings. And for a dozen wings, they charged me $19. I was going to put him in a head hole. I was going to put him in a chicken wing. Let me put it that way. So $19, and they're like little now. I don't know. They shrunk. Poor children. They're killing the... Because there's a chicken wing shortage, so they're not even letting them grow up. They're just... We're killing the little birds. My wing, like the chicks, they're like this big, a chicken wing. And then you go shopping to the store, and my wife does most of the shopping. And is your conversation like this when you get home? Honey, I spent what? What? You spent what? Well, don't blame me. Well, this was this, this was that, this was that. How many know the bills mounted the inflation 30% cost in groceries, right? How many feel the pinch? How many just feel a pinch? I mean, we're thankful that God has taken us through this. But I just want to talk to you about money. I want to talk to you about managing money. I want to talk to you about moving from strapped and stressed to blessed, because I believe that we don't have to live with this weight, this financial weight. We don't have to live stressed over what's happening in the world today. I believe God's children can walk in the blessing of God. I believe God's children, if we're wise with what we have, God will multiply it and continue to provide all of our needs as we trust him, as we put him first in our life. So if you're new to church, if you're new to watching online, if you're new to us, I know that when we talk about money in church, we get a little weird. It feels a little weird because we say, there's that money talk again. There's that money talk. And there's like 99% of churches are doing the right thing, but there's that 1%. That just drops shade for the rest of us, right? That just kind of like makes people think that we're in it for the money. And I just want to tell you, the reason why we talk about money in church is because Jesus spoke more about money than faith and prayer combined. Imagine that. There are about 500 verses on faith and fewer than 500 verses on prayer, but did you know there are over 2,350 verses on money and possessions that Jesus talked about? Isn't that crazy? So we have to talk about money. We're going to talk about money because it impacts all of us. But before we begin in this series, I just want to set some ground rules. I just want to kind of set some rules so that we can get through this series together, because I know sometimes Sunday mornings we want to be inspired and go through our week inspired, but I believe that spiritual transformation, I believe talking about money is a spiritual formation issue. It affects who we are spiritually, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. So before we kind of dive into this series, I want to give you some ground rules, and here are some ground rules. Number one is don't feel guilty. Don't ever feel guilty. Don't ever feel guilty about coming to church, being in church, not coming to church. Guilt is not from Jesus. Jesus took guilt on the cross for you and for me. So if you feel guilty, that's not from God. We can feel conviction, What's the difference? Guilt makes you feel shame, makes you feel ashamed. Conviction kind of speaks to your heart, and God says, I want to convict you in that area so that you can draw closer to me, so that you can become more like me. That make sense? So guilt brings feelings of shame and pushes you away from God. Conviction draws you closer to God and is always wrapped in love. Don't feel guilty. Number two is don't get defensive. Walls are up, right? Don't get defensive. That's really important, that you just kind of drop your protection, your walls. And rule number three, keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. So that's so important. I'll leave you this one more thing before we dive in. So often, I just want to kind of nail and just kind of speak against the stereotypes, the negative stereotypes. Some people think that when a pastor talks about money in church, they think that the pastor wants more money. They watch documentaries that are on television. And can I just publicly say, do not watch any documentary that bashes a church or an organization. Can I just tell you that? Don't allow your soul and spirit to be opened up to some negative stereotypes that this culture just wants to kill the church and kill Christians. And not every church is perfect, but I'm just going to tell you that it's important that you know, and when we talk about money, it's not to make our pockets bigger as a pastor. My salary has been set by a board. So if someone dropped $1 million after resuscitating me, just make sure you do that. Did nurses be around? Once I get, what happened? Someone gave $1 million. After you resuscitate me, my salary doesn't change. It doesn't. It's set. And it's set within studies. Studies have been done on what a pastor like I should make in this size church, in this community. And we have really strong financial practices in our church. We practice integrity. We have strong financial practices. So this is not about us getting more money. And this is not about God getting your money. Because just newsflash, if God wanted your money, he would take it. I think that's all for today. God bless you all. Like, oh, he wants my money. Really? You believe that? What you need to do is reframe your mindset when it comes to money. And that's what we're going to talk about today, reframing your money mindset. Now, reframe your mindset. Because some of you are under the power and control of money, and you don't even know it. Some of you have a poverty mindset. Some of you just have making it by mindset. Some of you have a mindset in which it's not biblical. So we're going to look at the biblical scriptural mindset when it comes to money. And the big question is why? As we're talking about, why talk about money? Because money, how we handle money affects our relationships. What do you think is the number one fight in every household? I don't know about you, but we have some discussions on that in our household, right? It's just part of living. It's part of being a married couple. It's part of having a family. And sometimes when the family is not on the same page, let me tell you, money can cause and wreak havoc in every home. That's why I tell every couple that's in premarital counseling that you should not have two separate accounts. You got to bring them together into one account and work as a team. Remember the rules. Be open-minded. Don't get defensive. Because some of you are just like, separate. What do you mean one joint account? Yeah. The most of the couples that have problems is they have two separate accounts. I've just seen it. And they have two different worlds. They have two different mindsets. And some of them have thousands of dollars in debt, and they don't even know what's going on. And that wreaks havoc. How you handle money impacts your relationships, not just your horizontal relationships, but your vertical relationship with God. Did you know that how you handle money is a spiritual issue? I guess not. Well, we're going to learn today, right? Because look at what this says. Look what the scripture says. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of worldly wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? Is that cool? Jesus speaking to our hearts. He says, if you do not handle money and you're not faithful, what you have been entrusted with, then how am I going to entrust you with true riches? Not just monetarily, but spiritually. There's a parable in the scripture that says, if you're not faithful with the little, how can God give you more? How can God not give you more if you're not faithful? It's being faithful. Why talk about money? Well, money and possessions compete with God. Money and possessions. That's why Jesus talked a lot about money. That's why he talked a lot about it in Scripture. And there's two temptations. I forgot to tell you, take a lot of notes if you can. Take pictures of the slides. You'll also be able to watch it again online. But two temptations when it comes to money. There are, number one, you're tempted to serve money. And you're tempted to love money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. That's the root of all evil. And it's so important that you understand this concept, that we are tempted to love and serve money. Money can be a god. And for so many people, the god of mammon is seated on the throne of their hearts. And what God wants you to do is put him on the throne of your heart. Because you cannot serve God and money. It's impossible. How many are with me today, yeah? You can't serve God and money. You either serve God or money. And here's a passage in Mark chapter 10. I wanted to read this to you because it's really great passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27. It's a parable of the rich young ruler. Jesus is talking. He says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. He said, you know the commandments. Jesus speaking to him, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. You should honor your father and mother. What do you think he said? Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. In other words, this dude was amazing. He was such a good kid. He followed all the rules. He obeyed all the commandments. I mean, he knew the law. But Jesus turns to him and said, that don't mean nothing. And this is what he said. Jesus looked and said, Jesus looked at him, I love this, and loved him. He loved him. And as he loved him, he spoke truth to him. Remember, truth in love. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, that's great that you follow my word and you follow my commandments. But true transformation doesn't happen until your wallet is transformed. I just let you hold that for a minute. When Jesus converts your wallet, then he has your heart. And if Jesus doesn't have your wallet, then he doesn't have your heart completely. Do you feel the tension in the room? Or is it just me? Why do we have tension with that? Because It's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual formation issue. And right now, there are two gods at war, the God of Mammon and the Spirit of God. And there's a war over the throne of your heart. And if you don't live your life according to the biblical principles, it's not that you're going to go to hell, it's that you're going to miss the blessing of God. And here's the point. This is what happened to this rich young ruler. He said, this man's face fell. He went away what? Sad, because he had great wealth. How do you go away sad when you're rich? Like, how do you go away sad when you're rich? If you hit the lottery for $1 million, how many would be sad? You see, in our mindset, we think more money, more happiness. More money, more happy. But that's not the truth. That's fake news. It's not more money, more happiness. It's not more stuff, more happiness. Because the truth is, you can have it all, but yet be the emptiest person in the world. And just look at our culture. Look at the people who are killing themselves, who are taking their lives, who are just jumping from relationship to relationship, selling house after house, trying to find happiness. And this is what happened. He went away sad because he had great wealth, and it wasn't the fact that he was wealthy. It's because God wasn't on the throne of his heart, and his wealth was more important than God. God's not against you being wealthy. By the way, we are wealthy. But God is concerned about who is on the throne of your heart. And in this case, this rich young man could not sell his possessions and give to the poor because his money meant more to him than Jesus. You see, look at what Ecclesiastes 5:10 says. He says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. How do you know if you have a love affair with money? Well, just examine your desires. Look at your desires and say, do I love money? Do I love wealth? Do I always feel I don't have enough? Am I never satisfied with what I have? This is a great sign to really deal with what's going on beneath the surface of our lives. Let's keep going. Why talk about money? Let's keep going, because much of life revolves around the use of money. Every day we go to work. Every day we spend money. Every day we're talking about money, spending money, making decisions about money, discussing money. Every day of our life, we're handling finances in some way, shape, or form. We're spending money. Much of life revolves around the use of money. So we must reframe our mindset. And this was my main point. I think I missed it on the slide. This is our main point, that if we don't manage money well, money will manage us, especially the lack of it. If we don't learn how to manage money, money will manage us, especially the lack of it. And this is the truth, that many people are under the power and control of money and don't even know it. So here's the question for us today as we begin this series. How do we reframe our mindset to get unstrapped? This feeling like we don't have enough, this feeling like what's going to happen tomorrow, this feeling of being I'm strapped financially, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. How do we come against the current of society, the nonstop news cycle that is pumping fear into our bones and into our mindsets, into our souls, to make us think that we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of oxygen, we're going to run out of gas, we're going to run out of everything? How do we fight this feeling of not having enough? And the truth is, before we dive in, the truth is that some of you were strapped way before the economy just changed. Some of you were strapped before gas went to $4.75. Some of you were strapped when gas was $1.75 or $1.99. Can I break it down a little more? And why? Because we've done some dumb things and stupid things with money. Have you done anything stupid with money? And the reason why some of us are strapped is because we're in this economy, but another reason why we're strapped is because we continue to do dumb things with money. Like buying houses we can't afford. Buying vehicles that we shouldn't be buying. That are far beyond our ability, our price range, but we just like it. Because when I ride, I got to sport. I'm going to sport my ride. You got to know. Buying toys. Because we love toys. Not living by a budget with a budget. I just slayed 99% of y'all out there. Like you're like, yeah, that was not me. That's not me. Budget. What's that? You got me, Pastor Joe. Dumb things with money. You don't have a plan to spend. What about out of control credit card spending? Don't worry. If you've done dumb things with money, so have I. And that was one of them. Credit cards. Man, I can go by story, but early on in life and ministry, we got paid peanuts, and we're just putting stuff on credit cards thinking the Lord will provide. The Lord will erase my debt. And that didn't happen. Early on in our ministry, we took over, first of all, my first salary as a youth pastor, get this, was $750 a month. Come on, somebody. Like, really? $750 a month. And then I got a raise to $900 a month, and then the pastor resigned. So then I went to plant a church. I finally became a senior pastor at 1998, a senior pastor at the ripe old age of 26, and my salary dropped by 1,000%. I didn't take a salary for the first 3 years. And I worked part-time. My wife worked full-time. We're trying to figure things out. And I thought, you know what? God will provide. I'll just cha-ching it. You know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And it was so great, so big. I didn't use wisdom. I ended up in credit counseling. It was just a disaster. And it affected me for years to get out of that. Years and years and years. I've done dumb things with money. And I understand the pressure of living under the weight of finances. And we've all done, so this is not about going into the past, this isn't about erasing the past, this is about moving forward. How do we get unstrapped? How do we reframe our money mindset? And it all begins with this first principle, is number one, we transfer ownership of our finances and possessions to God. Transfer ownership. So if you have a deed to your life, you transfer the ownership to God. Because everything belongs to God. Ownership principle. God is the owner of everything, not us. You came into this world broke, and you're going to die broke because you can't take it with you. It doesn't belong to you. Everything you have belongs to God. It's not your money. It's not my money. It's not your wealth. It's not my wealth. But Pastor, I didn't see God working all them overtime hours. It was me who did the overtime. It's me commuting to the city. It's me doing all that work. I'm the one. Who gave you breath in your lungs? Who gave you the mind to think? Who gave you the ability to walk? Who gave you the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the anointing, the blessing? Come on, somebody. Who gave you the ability to produce wealth? It is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth, not you. Not you. In and of your own strength, you don't have a mindset to do what you've been placed to do. Some of you are in positions way beyond your ability, but God has given you supernatural anointed ability. Come on. And some of you, God wants to promote you into positions you've never been to. God wants to put you in places you've never been to, but you have to learn the ownership principle first, that God is the owner of everything. It's not my wealth. It's not your wealth. You said, Lord, well, Pastor, where is that in the scripture? Well, 1 Corinthians 29:11. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For what? In heaven and earth is yours. Say it with me. What? Everything in heaven and earth is who? Everything. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Who's given you the business? Who's given you the work? Who's given you the opportunity? Who blessed you with that job? Who opened those doors? Who has provided for you? And even when you didn't have a job, that God provided for you in supernatural ways. And yes, we've all been through tough times. Yes, I've been in moments where I didn't have enough to pay the oil. I didn't have enough to pay the food. But I've been in those seasons. I've been in those times in my life. But I can tell you, in all of those seasons, in all of those situations, God somehow, some way showed up. He showed up. And he's provided because he owns it. Look at this. Wealth and honor come from who? You. Wealth comes from God. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. I love Larry Burkett. I believe he passed away. He ran Crown Financial. He taught a lot of money biblical principles. This is what he said. When we acknowledge God's ownership, every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision. No longer do we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with my money? The question is restated, Lord, what do you want me to do with your money? Can we start right there? If you're under financial stress and pain and difficulty and you feel like it's out of control, you feel like you can't catch up, you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulder, can we just push pause? Everybody do that with me. Push pause, and let's start with who owns your money. Let's transfer ownership to God. Because guess what? At that moment, your money problem no longer becomes your money problem. I'm enjoying this more than you're receiving it because it's so good. I'm like, that's okay. Because when you transfer ownership to God, your rent problem ain't yours no more. Your mortgage problem ain't yours no more. It's God's problem. It's God's problem. So let's begin by transferring ownership to God. So then who are we? We become stewards. Say that with me, stewards. What's a steward? Old word. Stewardship is to faithfully and responsibly handle the money and wealth that has been entrusted to you by God. Everything belongs to God. Ownership belongs to God. Now God entrusts you with finances and wealth. You become his money manager. It's not yours. You're managing his wealth. Good? Faithfully and responsibly. So transfer ownership to God. How do we become unstrapped? Number two, you still with me? Break the habits that keep you in debt. Okay? Some of you just need to push the pause button, transfer ownership to God. Second of you, some of you need to push the pause button and stop going into debt. Stop going into debt. I'm not even talking mortgage debt. I'm talking about stuff debt. Stuff debt. Why? Because look at this passage. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I was driving my son home from Miami last week, and I passed by one of the biggest buildings I had ever seen. That a credit card company owned. It was like a compound. It was Capital One. It must have been 50 stories high with multiple campuses around. They must have tens of thousands of employees around the world. Why? We're making them rich. Yeah. We're making them rich. Those big fat cats on top of the credit card empire, right? Making them rich. We become slaves to the lender, okay? Let's keep going because we got to wrap it up here. How do we get unstrapped? We refuse temptations to make hasty financial decisions. Refuse the temptation to make hasty financial decisions. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 21:5. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." The plans of the diligent. I want to talk to you quickly about prudence, being prudent with your money. Prudence means, it's an Old Testament word that means wise, but it also means somebody who has the ability to look long term. Credit card companies are prudent because they're not interested in the immediate return. They're interested in the long-term payback. Mortgage companies are prudent. They recognize that if they can get you paying monthly for many, many years, you not only will pay the interest, but you'll not only will pay the principal, but you'll pay tens of thousands in interest. Are you following me? Prudence means you're not going to be hasty in making a decision because you have the bug to buy something. It means you're emotionally connected to what you're about to purchase. It means you push the pause button and you think, can I afford this? Is this in my budget? Do I need this? I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to confer with my spouse. Or if there are other people involved, and then I'll make a wise decision. How do we get unstrapped? We refuse the temptations to make hasty financial decisions. That's why when you go to get a timeshare, they tell you this: if you don't buy this right now, like this deal you're about to get, you will never ever find a deal like this for the rest of your life. And you're like, oh my God, honey, we have to do this. And we make hasty decisions because of the pressure. But if you feel pressure, don't make the decision. Don't ever get into a financial situation that you can't walk away from. Don't ever buy a car you can't walk away from. Don't ever buy a house you can't walk away from. Don't ever buy anything you can't walk away from. Come on, somebody. Right? Just can't walk away from it, just walk away from it. I'm good. Okay, let's keep going because we're going to wrap this up here. Seek contentment. How do we get unstrapped? Seek contentment through relationship with God. A lot of our issues with being strapped is because we're not happy. We're not content. We're always wanting more. Some of us have an addiction to material things. Like we have an addiction to shopping. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but because it does something for us emotionally. Some of us need to buy things regularly. We just need stuff, new stuff. We just got to keep buying because it does something for us. And the rush, especially when you see the word sale. Oh my gosh, sale. You know, just throw that word sale and it's like, I have to buy it. How many are sale? Don't raise your hand, sale buyers. Like if it says sale, oh my God. It ends tomorrow. It ends tomorrow. Don't point to your spouse. I saw that. You're like. Right? Spouses, don't point to each other, all right? Because y'all guilty too. See, the thing with husbands and wives is this. Women, they'll buy stuff like $50 here, $60 here, $80 here. Men, we'll just throw down a $3,000 like tractor. You know what I'm saying? Like a lawnmower. You know, we get upset. Honey, why are you spending money? Again, $50 on those plants, but then we're going to come home with a new blower, you know, like a leaf blower. $350. Well, honey, you know, I got to blow the house down. I got to blow everything out the water. Seek contentment through your relationship with God, because ultimately, look what the scriptures say. Here we go. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And maybe the Lord, during the season of being strapped, is wanting us to teach us contentment. Maybe we need to push the pause button and transfer ownership to God and say, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I need to push the pause button and maybe grab a hold of my spending. I need to stop going into debt and make hasty financial decisions. And maybe this summer we're pushing pause and not, and just being happy with what we have. Maybe we don't go on that vacation. Maybe we don't do those things. Maybe we don't make those decisions. Let's just be content, because if we have Jesus, if we have each other, if we have our health, then we have all the wealth we need. Come on, church, right? We have what we need. So listen to what Philippians continues to say. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The secret of contentment. And this last, how do we get unstrapped? We believe God's promise that God will meet your needs. Your needs will be met. That's how we get unstrapped. Check it out. Look at this verse. What does God say? And my, what does the word of God say? And what? Meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let that be your motto in 2022. Can we do that? Can we say, and my God will meet all of your needs, and my God will meet all of my needs. Everything I need, he will provide. He is called, Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. What am I saying to you, church? This is what I'm saying to you, that God is our source. God is the source. When God is your king, then God is your source. When he's on the throne, then he's your source. When you've relinquished control to him, then he's your source. When you've transferred ownership to him, then God is our source. And I've learned and I've seen God provide in supernatural ways. I've seen God bring finances in my life in ways I never imagined. I've seen God give me the wisdom to handle finances. I've seen God open doors of opportunity to provide for our needs. Government's not our source. Our jobs aren't our source. God is our source. He will use your jobs. He will use government. He will use people. He will use circumstances. But ultimately, God is our source. So just to wrap it up really quick, here we go. How do we get unstrapped? We transfer ownership. We break the habits. We refuse the temptations to make those hasty decisions. We seek contentment. We believe God's promise. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to push the pause button and evaluate your relationship with money. As we begin this series, we're going to go a few weeks into this. We want to just evaluate. And here's the question. Is God on the throne of my heart, or is it money? Who's in control of my life? Is it God or money? Because when we don't learn to manage money, money will manage us. Who is my source? Is it God or or someone else? And this point should give us great peace. And regardless of what happens in the future, I know God will provide. Maybe that provision comes in a J-O-B, a job, for those of you. Like, maybe that provision comes in wisdom. Maybe that provision comes with an understanding to launch a business. Maybe God will give you creative ways to earn an income. God provides. Or maybe, just maybe, someone will bless you. Maybe, just maybe, something happens that God will provide. You see, the main issue when it comes to finances is that we don't need more money. The economy's tough. I know we could all use it. Am I right? Come on, somebody. Like, come on. I could use it, right? But this is the issue. It's not that we need more money. Most of us, we don't need more money. What we need is more of God. That's what we need, more of God. And when we have God, we have contentment. When we have God, we have peace. When we have God, we have provision. When we have God, we have all that we need. So as we jump ahead in this series, I wanted to lay the biblical foundation. Who is the owner of your possessions? Can we bow our heads? Some of you need to transfer ownership. Some of you need to write it out and transfer the deed over to God. Some of you have been trying to figure it out. You've been like working, killing yourself, just trying. And God is saying, transfer ownership to me. Transfer ownership of your finances. Transfer ownership of your heart. put me on the throne of your heart. If you're watching or you're here today, you need to transfer ownership of your life, of your finances to God. Come on, why don't you lift your hand up? Say, that's me, Pastor. I need to transfer ownership. I'm going to transfer on this Sunday morning. My first step is going to transfer the ownership of my life and my finances to God. Come on, let's do that right where you're seated, in your heart. Even if you've done it before, can we renew that commitment? Say, Jesus, it's yours. Forgive me for thinking it was mine. It's yours. Give me wisdom, understanding, provide. Thank you for reminding me that you are my source. Lord, today we trust you. We trust you with the future. We trust you with the economy. We trust you with our jobs. We trust you with our finances. We don't live our lives worried and stressed, strapped and stressed, but instead we're going to walk in the blessing of God.